Neither ISO, New England, nor the PUC has said we need the power. ISO has said it's not essential for the reliability of the system. Yet we're having to contend with it. And the possibility is that we could have it rammed down our throat whether or not there's any community benefit.
This adversity is opportunity. And if we fight, and we fight together, we can beat it.
Some sounds from the Hanover Concerned Citizens gathering at the Richmond Middle School last night, and Bulldog Live was there. And you heard Peter Powell, real estate agent from Lancaster, and attorney Bob Baker, who addressed the 60 or so citizens that showed up. I counted 63, who showed up to talk about this. Some people, a lot of people live in the Upper Valley who are concerned about the possibility of this power line going through their property, as the alternate route would take it through Haverhill and Bath and Landeth and other towns in that region. Or would it? And that is the story that is being reported today in the Concord Monitor, among other outlets that are saying that Northern Pass officials have taken away a lot of these alternate routes in some revised filings that they plan on doing with the Department of Energy. And it's worthy to note that today is the last day for the public scoping session, even though requests have been made to extend that. I have yet to hear of any extensions on that. But joining us now to explain this a little further about these alternate routes and the preferred right-of-way is Martin Murray, who is the spokesman for the Northern Pass entity. And Martin, welcome to Bulldog Live. Welcome back. How are you?
Well, thank you very much for that welcome, Brian. I appreciate it, and I'm happy to be part of the program.
Good, good. Well, as I wanted to reach out to you first before I figure out what the heck does this all mean, when they talk about five alternate routes in this, I say, wait a minute, there's the preferred route and there's the alternate route. Where did five come from? And that's where I'm hoping you can explain to me as well as our listeners.
Sure, and I'll preface it by saying that perhaps part of the confusion stems from the fact that this it's not a simple process. This is a complicated process that involves not only the utility and the communities, but the state government and the federal government as well. So there's a lot of tails in here.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question directly, Brian. And by the way, all of our materials regarding the filing today have been posted on our website. The filing was just made within the hour, and I'll give you that website in a moment.
Okay.
But recall that we are talking about a transmission line to stretch from the Quebec border in Pittsburgh down to Deerfield. It's always been our intention to use existing rights of way wherever we possibly can. And we marked out a preferred route that basically utilized those existing rights of way, except in the far north where there are no existing rights of way. And we'll get to that in a moment. But south of Groveton, there were a number of alternate routes. There were several of them, Brian, as you might know. And they have been posted on the maps that we provided. And basically, I guess the simple way to say it was we were saying to the DOE, here's our preferred route, stretching from here to there, but if you don't like it, here's an alternate to consider. Well, what we've done now, in the wake of the comments that we heard and the public meetings that were held by the DOE, is that people do not like these alternate routes. They would like them taken off the table, and that's basically what we're doing. What we're saying to the DOE is we provided you with an alternative around this point, for example, to consider. We don't want you to consider that anymore. It's basically the preferred route or nothing at all. And we've done that for five of the alternate routes that were identified at the map. An example, quickly, is you attended a meeting in the Upper Valley. I would imagine most of the people there were from that area that was on a alternate route that stretched about 55 miles around and to the west of the White Mountain National Forest.
Right.
We're requesting that the DOE basically remove that specific alternate from our application, that it no longer be considered. We intend to focus exclusively on the existing right-of-way and remove that alternate. And we've done that for four other alternative segments.
So, and that's what I want to try and paint the picture for anybody who still might be confused. You know, because again, you know, you look at a map and you look at the explanation. You have the alternate route, and you have the existing transmission right away, which would be your preferred route through a good section of this. And each time one of these deviations from the right of way, that's considered an alternate route.
That's correct.
Okay,
and
good.
The one we were talking about, that central one, for example, the north point on that alternate route was the town of Easton,
yep.
And the south point was Ashland, and included on the far west point, Haverhill.
Yes.
That, if they accept our proposal, we'll remove that entirely.
Okay, now that leaves another question, and that is, if that only leaves your preferred route, which is the existing right-of-way, and part of that does go through the White Mountain National Forest, my understanding was that alternate that takes you over towards Haverhill, that was a way, an alternate to avoid the White Mountain National Forest in case you're not able to get that special use permit needed from the forest organization.
Yeah, that's basically right, Brian. It was an alternate if for whatever reason that route could not be used. And it's not exclusively the White Mountain National Forest. That's only a small portion, actually, of that section that alternate would go around. But we do have an existing easement through those towns. There are transmission lines there now. We do have a special use permit with the White Mountain National Forest. But yes, you're basically correct. What we're saying is we're going to focus exclusively on our preferred route, which is to continue to use the existing rights of way.
Well, and if I can just expand a little bit further, because this issue actually did come up last night in Hanover with this group in one of the presentations, and I think it was Will Abbott from the Forest Society who might have brought this up, and I'm looking through my notes here feverishly on this, but as you know, there was a National Forest representative at all seven of the public scoping meetings, because
yes.
if Northern Pass, and I'm just thinking of you guys here for a minute, if your only way is to go through the White Mountain National Forest, and let's say you can't expand the right-of-way, you know, either side, and you can't build a tall tower, what is left for you? What would be an alternative? That certainly that could stop the project.
We would have to work within the parameters that the Forest Service provides us with, Brian, and we actually have not suggested that we need to widen the right-of-way at all, except for a very small section that's at the southern terminus of the White Mountain National Forest. So there is a very small section, but in general, we don't. We would have to work within the parameters, and basically, that's true, Brian, of anywhere along the existing rights-of-way. We are able to work with landowners to basically say, okay, you know, here's the area we have to work with. Here are some of the choices in terms of the structure, heights, or design. Let's see what we can work to get this as agreeable as we can to all parties. Let's lower the impact. Let's make any viewshed impact as little as possible. You know, let's see what we can do. And it would be the same with the White Mountain National Forest, the Forest Service as well.
Okay, and that website where people can view your request to the Department of Energy to take that alternate route out, where can they find this?
Well, I think the easiest way to get the whole breadth of what we've done today, Brian, is to go to the main website, which is northernpass.us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a section that's called the Project Journal, and you'll see a tab along the top that says Project Journal. If one clicks there, the latest post is it refers to the issue that you and I are chatting about, and
yep.
It does have links to, for example, the filing itself that was made just within the last hour down in Washington, to a press release, and also to an updated map. So the updated map displays the routes that we are focused on now, and the alternates are now gone from that map. I did provide you with a link to the old, quote-unquote, map.
And yes.
We can, so people, you know, if if people feel like, oh, they want to see the old map, I'll figure out a way to provide that to people. I'm not sure it's easily available, but basically...
I can make it available.
Sure. Yeah, that's important. I think it's important for people to see what's gone away. We do list the towns that are no longer in the project plans at all in the press release. So there are quite a few towns that basically they've been taken out of the picture.
Now, as I understand, especially in the quote from the Concord Monitor, it looks like Gary Long, who is quoted, says, we're going to reach out and talk to those communities and make it clear to them we don't want people to be concerned when there's not a reason to have concern. And that would be to tell the towns, no, don't worry about this. This isn't going to come through there.
Yes, for the alternate towns, that's correct. I don't think it'll take them long to realize that, but people, for example, I mean, just pick a random town. People in Haverhill, for example, if they were concerned, and that concern was having an impact on sale of homes or decisions to purchase a home, they have, you know, unless there's some surprise, I doubt there will be any by the DOE, we're looking forward to the DOE accepting our proposal to remove that alternate from consideration. So it's off the project plans.
Okay, because that's what I'm wondering. Now that we, and I've said this a couple times, today is the final day for the public scoping comments. And, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, given the fact that we had that week long of meetings and everybody gave their testimony based on what the preferred routes and the alternate routes are, I'm just wondering that if the DOE is going to be looking, I mean, they're going to be looking at a whole wide range of things, I'm sure, based on the testimony that was given. But I'm just thinking, you know, what if, you know, they say, okay, again, no White Mountain National Forest. There is no alternative on this new map that you have today.
Well, I think that the DOE has the information it needs to proceed in regards to this project for everything from the from Groveton South. In other words, we haven't added any new twists, no additions here. What we're talking about is taking away some things. So they have the comments regarding that area, and they're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to go through a scoping process and begin to draft a environmental impact statement. I think the big question, I know your listeners may be interested in, is, you know, what happens north of Groveton? Because, as you know,
I was just going to ask you that.
We don't have an existing transmission line. We have to be able to get from point A to point B now. And what we're saying in this filing is we recognize that the preferred route that we developed in regards to new rights of way north of Groveton are not acceptable to the people in the communities through which, you know, we developed that preferred route. So we are very eager to talk to landowners and communities to develop a route in that area that is acceptable to landowners and to communities. So we are talking to people in that area. And the objective is this, Brian. People were concerned about their particular property. Others were concerned about viewshed issues. It would be our objective to try to mitigate those by coming to agreement with landowners in regards to the property that we would like an easement on for the right-of-way, and to work with communities to minimize or eliminate viewshed issues. We think it's possible. We don't have it yet. We don't have a new proposal for that area, but we want to take a crack at it, and we're very eager to do that. Now,
is this where I saw a report, and I had a few other people mention this word on the street kind of thing, that Northern Pass and officials in the town of Dummer had a meeting, which would take it towards the other side of the state in the North Country.
I'm not part of the team that's working on the ground up there, but I'm sure that they've talked to officials in many towns and landowners in many towns. I think they're out. They're basically exploring. We floated a route. We had the best intentions, but it obviously didn't pass muster with the citizens of those towns. So what are the other possibilities? So that's what we're doing, is we're exploring possibilities in the North Country so that we still retain for New Hampshire the tremendous benefits that we believe are available and forthcoming with this project, but we consider the issues and the concerns that were raised, and we respond to those. We absolutely think it's doable.
Well, Martin Murray joining us here. He's spokesman for the Northern Pass Project here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. And, you know, the people will say in the North Country, I can't speak for them, but I can only guess what I would hear. And that is, if you're going to be listening to us, the answer is no.
Well, Brian, what if, let me just throw a hypothetical to
okay.
you, though. What if we develop a route that has the approval of the landowner for that easement, and it mitigates or eliminates the concerns that people expressed in regards to the view shed?
So they would probably be asking you, do you plan on burying it? You know, as far as the view shed, as far as the landowners, yeah, I mean, shoot, if they agree with it, why not, right?
Well, that's what our objective, like as I said, is to gain approval from landowners and communities for an area through which to develop a new right-of-way. So we want landowners to be on board with us, and that's what we're seeking. Is there a possibility? Is there a route through which those concerns can be mitigated? And we're eager to find that, and we do believe that we can mitigate some of the other concerns. Like if you don't own the property through which this line goes, Brian, but you see the line, does that offend you? If it does, let's talk about that. And are there ways to mitigate that? I think it's time to explore those options and to address them. And we do think it's possible, and we're eager to talk to people about that.
Could you be opening another can of worms, though, by saying if you're going to take it over towards the area of Berlin, that you could be getting a whole nother set of people up there?
Well, that goes again to finding a route that has the approval of the landowners and the local communities. So that's what we're seeking. It's by no means a sure thing, but we're eager to, you know, explore that and to try to develop a route that does gain support and retains those benefits, but mitigates those issues that were of concerns to people. I will say quickly, I know we're running out of time somewhat, but you did mention underground, and I would say that for the most part, I don't see that as a possibility. We actually do include a section in the filing responding to calls to put this underground, or some people actually also said underwater. We didn't raise those possibilities in the first application, Brian, because we did not believe those to be practical. Because they were raised officially in some motions during a scoping meeting, we responded in today's filing to those both of those issues, and I won't take a lot of time to explain why. You've heard it before. There is tremendous impact environmentally if one tries to put this line underground, and we actually go into some detail in the filing regarding that. It's a fairly easy reading, actually, so I think you and others will find no problem in getting through that legal document. And if you are interested in why we don't believe it's practical to go underground or underwater, it's in there.
All right, and that would be at northernpass.us. Click on Project Journal, where you can see the filings that were just sent in about an hour ago.
Yeah, there's a couple of links. The one that I'm referring to is the link says we have filed a letter, and that is a hot link to the actual document that we did file.
Did the new filing address the other existing transmission line that goes through Vermont and then back into New Hampshire?
No, it hasn't. We've talked about that, and we can talk about that more if the DOE asks us to, but we don't believe that that is practical either, certainly not from a reliability standpoint. One cannot simply put another line within the existing right-of-way. One would have to actually create a new right-of-way anywhere in Vermont. You can't share two big transmission lines can't share the same right-of-way. So we'd face perhaps some of the same issues that we face here going through Vermont. So we don't feel that's a practical solution. But I don't believe that was actually part of the filing today, but I've no problem sharing it with you.
Okay. Well, I mean, I thought I'd ask because that's a route that keeps coming up over and over and over again. So.
Well, and one of the reasons,
I know you've heard it too.
Yeah, well, besides the challenges, because the reliability angle, for example. We actually don't believe that it's practical. It's in the best interest, rather, from New Hampshire's perspective. This has significant economic impact on New Hampshire, economic benefit. There certainly is, obviously, wherever this line will be, there is new taxable assets that will result in significant amounts of revenue, $25 million a year to New Hampshire communities. That and the construction jobs that will come with this line will be significant as well for at least a three-year period. So there are reasons to, certainly take a serious look at this project if one is kind of towing the line or straddling the line here. That's one of the things I'm sure that's in its favor.
All right, very good. Martin Murray, again, northernpass.us. Click on Project Journal for these filings that we're just talking about right now. And then there's also a toll-free phone number, I understand, too, that people can call, for, especially for those who don't have internet access.
Oh, boy, you're testing me.
I know, and I went ahead and started blabbing on about it without having it ready myself. So how about that?
I have it right here.
Good.
Take this down. 1-800-286-7305.
There we
and
go.
And basically what happens there is you will have your question recorded. We will get back to you within, I believe it's 2 business days. So you won't talk to a human right away, but the human will get back to you and respond to your question.
1-800-286-7305.
That's correct.
Thank you, Martin Murray.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, you're welcome. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.